This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The nation's highways would be barren runways of asphalt and concrete if not for trees. In much of the country, roadside woodlands tell the story of the landscape. That's especially true east of the Rockies, where a new book maintains much of the land is, was, and again will be forest. NPR's Ketzel Levine traveled to the Delaware Valley to visit with Rick Dark, author of The American Woodland Garden.
To understand Rick Dark and his romance with the woods, consider these moments from his book. For instance, page 20, where the shadows of beech leaves are painted across gray bark. Or page 28, where colors like straw, fawn, and parchment are used instead of brown. But it's not just about words with Dark. He has immersed himself in the woods. The tip-off is his riotous fall garden.
The only curious thing is you have to invite everybody in the bathroom to see it.
That's because the best view is through the bathroom window.
Have a seat there. If I showed you pictures of this exact scene, which is now gold and amber and deep rich browns and chocolate colors and merlots, if I showed you this same scene in May, the jack and the pulpits would be blooming below us, the cinnamon ferns would be coming up, and most of that is occurring 10 feet from the toilet.
Far from irreverent, this glorification of the bathroom view owes a great deal to Ralph Waldo Emerson, whose idea of finding beauty in one's necessary journey is fundamental to this garden's design. It's also an important premise in Rick Dark's book, The American Woodland Garden, photographs and essays that spin the secrets of the woods into advice for gardeners. Despite its coffee table heft and encyclopedia of woodland plants, the book is, at heart, a love story. It chronicles the decades-long relationship between Rick Dark and a place called Red Clay Creek.
I'm going to try and turn the car around here.
Is this the spot?
This is the spot right here.
Red Clay Creek, about a half hour from Dark's Landenburg, Pennsylvania home, meanders along a country road beneath a canopy of ash, sycamore, and beech. Dark used to pass it on his commute to work, another necessary journey, but without giving it much thought. Then on March 31st, 1983, he parked his car, walked over to the creek, and took a picture. The next day, same time, he took it again. The next day, again. The unfolding story that is two decades at Red Clay Creek is now documented in his book and central to his gospel of landscape design.
You see those two trees that make that arch there? There's an ash tree and a sycamore tree. I'm amazed that they're still there making that arch because this is 20 years. And actually, there's a lot that changes and pretty rapidly along a stream corridor like this. But that was a framing device that I don't think I could have told you then as much as I can now how important framing is in helping to understand a landscape and find your place in the landscape. But that has become a stronger and stronger mark for me each year. And you see, if you're standing here and you're looking out, it's almost as if you've done some kind of formal garden. You've got these two lines as the creek goes to a vanishing point, and you've got these two trees arching high above it, gracefully crossing at the top.
Remember that bathroom view? Now that's framing. Framing defines a space, focuses attention, seduces with the possibility of what lies beyond. It could be a light at the end of a tunnel or a path into the woods. It's pouring rain now as we slip into the shelter of a forest minutes from Red Clay Creek. That is, it might have been a shelter if the trees weren't deciduous, but by now they've all just about lost their leaves. Still, the sense of enclosure is inescapable, and enclosure is another idea Dark cribbed from the woods for the blank slate that was once his home.
I found myself out in this acre and a half out in Landenburg with basically an acre and a half of lawn, and I walked out there and I thought, oh my God, I'm just naked in front of God and everybody. And I wanted to find some way of building the mystery, the intrigue, the sense of stop and start. And trees were the best way to do it.
Dark didn't just pop in trees. He used them to frame views and conjure a sense of journey. In one instance, he lined a path to the back of his house with native pawpaws, a Semina triloba, small trees that can easily be tucked into a small space. As we continue walking beneath the benediction of trees, our path is lined by compact, lean ironwood, It would only take a few of these muscular beauties to put some desperately needed mystery between my own bathroom window and my neighbor's kitchen sink. In his luminous love letter of a book, Rick Dark constantly returns to the seasonal rhythms of the forest and to that endless drama we call time. For Dark, time doesn't just pass, it leaves its calling card everywhere, particularly on a birch tree in his back garden, once decapitated by Hurricane Floyd.
I will value that tree a lot more because it is a marker of something that happened in 99. It's about birches and how they can kind of come back from that. I mean, these themes, you know, especially these days, I would think that people would love to see the kind of reaffirming stories the garden could tell about change, healing, resilience. Why not make these part of the garden story? For me, it's a lot more fascinating than just one more row of flowers.
Standing in these woods, after hours of conversation, I ask Dark why we've become so enamored with landscapes that, by comparison to this, are so sterile. He suggested it was a habit learned when the woods were full of danger, and gardens places of refuge, tamed from the wild. But whether we live on land that used to be forest, desert, or swamp, we have long since carved out our own safe havens. Now the wild places need refuge, and the safest place for them may be our own front yards. For NPR News, in the Delaware Valley, I'm Ketzel Levine.
Rick Dark's photographs are on view at Ketzel's website, Talking Plants, and the address is npr.org.